Our boy's a genius, Daniel. He's rigged up a pulley system so he can eat sausages and work on his stupid drawings.
Yeah, I went and watched that on YouTube.
Was it so funny?
It wasn't as funny as you saying it. It wasn't near as funny as when you say it.
Daddy, would you like some sausage? Daddy, would you like some sausages?
Hold up. We have to hit reverse on this. Hey, everybody. This is Daniel. Our good buddies over at Havoc Hunt Supply, they sent us some stuff to give away. And when we were recording for this episode, we didn't really mention it because the package hadn't come in and we wasn't really 100% sure what all was in there. So they sent us a boot jack to help take your boots off with, a no-spill water bowl, and a competition pack style hunting vest. Now, this drawing is going to take place on September the 26th because I look at our downloads on a two-week window as opposed to most of them look at it like their downloads as per week. But since we do it every other week show, we're going to do it on September the 26th. And like I said, this is right at about a $95 value. To enter in, all you got to do is share this show on social media, Facebook or Instagram, and you can share it from whatever platform you listen to your podcast on, whether it's Apple, Google, Spotify, whatever it may be, because y'all sharing this show is the only thing that's going to really make it grow, and we greatly appreciate it. Again, this is a boot jack, a no-spill water bowl, and a competition pack style hunting vest, all provided by Havoc Hunting Supply. So just go ahead, share it now. I appreciate it. I hope y'all enjoyed this episode, and we now return you to your regular scheduled programming. You're listening to Coon Hunting Confidentials on the Houndstooth Podcasting Network, where we explore anything and everything coon hunting and listen to coon hunting stories from across the nation that include cryptids, the paranormal, the unexplained, and a whole hell of crazy. I'm Daniel Felker, your host. Join me and my buddies, Dustin Faulkner and Ryan James, as we explore into the confidential side of coon hunting. Warning, some material may not be suitable for children.
Yo, what's going on, everybody? I want to welcome y'all to another episode of Coon Hunting Confidentials on the Houndstooth Podcasting Network. I got Dustin over here to my right. What's going on, fella? How you doing today?
Same as always, man. Another day, another dime, I reckon.
And I got Ryan over here to my left.
And I'm making it myself.
We all making it.
We making it.
Speaking of making it, we made it back safely to and from Indiana at Autumn Oaks. We were recording at Dustin's house, and I left my mic stands at my house, and we're all holding mics by hand, and for some reason, I don't know, it's kind of like got to, I don't know if it's like the electrodes of our body coming through or something, but it's
all this power I got in my hands, bro.
I feel like I should be singing karaoke.
Man, we had to start off with, want to go ahead and thank Trevor Wade and Alan Gingrich and all the people at UKC for putting on an awesome event at Autumn Oaks. And probably this first little bit probably be just us talking about Autumn Oaks and the people we met and such. It wasn't what I was expecting, but it was a lot more than what I was expecting at the same time. But I regret not doing Autumn Oaks sooner or not going up there and experiencing that.
It's one of the coolest, if not the coolest, experience I've had hunting dogs as far as anything to do with hunting dogs.
It was fun.
Oh, yeah. It was a great time, man.
Met a lot of nice folks.
There's a lot we can get into about Autumn Oaks. I don't even know where to start talking about Autumn Oaks.
Man, it was a trip, dude. Like, I ain't never been nowhere and had people come up to me I didn't know and just say one thing and they know exactly who I was. It
made
was weird,
you feel all
man.
Warm inside, didn't
it? It made me feel funny, man. It made me feel funny. I'm still feeling weird about it.
We might as well talk about Clayton Stark. He's who we set up beside.
Yeah, but we sat up.
He's
right
a very
beside
cool fella.
He's awesome, man.
We had a chance to talk to him and sit there right beside him and just hold casual conversations. And Clayton Stark come over and sat down beside us and put the headphones on and sat down in front of a mic and started talking. So we got about a 20, I can't remember. It might have been 20, 25 minute conversation with Clayton Stark.
Well, I thought it was awesome that he put our stuff in his little video.
Yeah, man. I mean,
made me feel famous.
Yeah, big shout out.
Yeah, give us a big shout out, man. Yeah. That's weird, man.
But then Ben Sheets with Tree Talking Time, he gave us a big shout out on the beginning of his podcast.
Yeah, I heard that too. That dude was cool too, man.
And if you listen to that podcast, and about middle ways all the way through the end, just about, you hear this puppy cutting up in the background.
It ain't Daniels.
Yeah. No. They were set up about two or three trucks down from us while they was recording that. And when I was listening to it, I heard that puppy, and I knew where they were sitting. I was like, that's that black and tan puppy cutting up. So I'm pretty sure that was him, because he mentioned that black and tan puppy passing gas on us while we were recording.
It was terrible.
I can't believe that.
We talked to him for, like,
about
he said, 45
minutes, man.
Yeah, we had a good conversation with him. We recorded with Ray Conrad, Bright Eyes Lights, our sponsor. I'm pretty sure that'll be the next episode coming out, will be with Mr. Ray, and I don't know who else. We might tag team it with one of the other smaller conversations.
And speaking of our sponsors, we would like to thank Mr. Ray Conrad for his new heat seeker light that we bought while we were down there. That thing is awesome.
It is. It's a nice one.
That thing right there might set the woods on fire if it's been too daggum dry when
it'd
you
burn,
go to hunting.
It'll burn a dingleberry off a Sasquatch at 200 yards.
It's a good one, man. He sold out. He was sold out by Saturday morning, or was it Friday?
Friday morning at like 10 o'clock, he was sold out.
And then he was taking orders the rest of the weekend on those heat seekers.
And they are legit.
Why don't y'all go ahead and give them that promo code?
The promo code for that is Houndstooth. You go on Bright Eyes' website. Now, I don't know how far behind they are on those, because he's taking orders right now, but they're building them as fast as they can get them out, because he got stores, dealers requesting them, and all the mokes was when they were pretty much released that weekend.
Oh, yeah. He talked about them like 2 days before going up there, and then I think that was the first time they went on sale was at Oaks.
And they are worth the money. They're a really nice light. I like it. I really like it.
Man, I like the four different settings on your walk light, which is also turns into your amber and turns into your red. I mean, that's versatility, dude. You can turn that song on down super low and walk through the woods.
Do some sneaking.
You can. You might just sneak up
light
on something.
I feel like they can't see that amber light as far through the woods as they can that bright light. I don't know.
So we can talk a little bit more about Autumn Oaks, and then we can talk about our other sponsor with Havoc Hunt Supply.
You had a couple of people stop you and ask where Havoc was, didn't you?
Sure did, had a couple of people. I sent them a message and told them I had some people that were stopping and asking where they were at, where they were set up.
They seen that badass apparel you had on.
They did. They saw that hat.
Hit them with the promo code, Bo.
Okay. The promo code for Havoc is Havoc10. Go to their website, Havoc10. HAVOC10. Anyway, so let's talk about what all went up there. We got up there Wednesday, went and checked everything out. We did. We booked the Airbnb. Dustin booked it, and we ended up staying like 30 minutes away, but it was a nice place to stay.
It was.
It was a nice, it was really nice place.
We would give it a shout out, but we might want to stay there again, so.
I don't know, man. After seeing it, I want to go there and stay on the grounds.
We had no idea.
Strangled dogs.
It was like that. Why didn't nobody say, hey, y'all dumbasses, you can camp up there. You can pitch a tent. We thought it was just campers. We didn't know there was like people tailgating all freaking week up there.
Yeah, we didn't have a clue.
It looked awesome.
It did. It looked like it would have been a good time. If we hadn't done paid for that Airbnb, we'd have stayed there.
That's true. But the Airbnb
was nice.
It was. It was very nice.
And they had some cool soap.
That we all bought. a bar of soap.
I want to give their soap a shout out, but I can't remember the name of it.
Let's talk about
it.
It
was Topacia Farms.
Topacia Farms soap.
No, Topacia.
Topacia.
Topacia Farms soap.
Like I went to school with her.
Man, I'm going to tell you right now, when we left out Wednesday, if somebody would have told me that the best dog work I would have witnessed the whole hunting, you know, we were spectating on two different casts, that a red bone would have been the best dog I looked at out of them two casts, I would have laughed at them.
Now we give them a shout out.
Yeah, we want to shout out to old Keith Emery for letting us spectate on his cast.
And his better half, what's her name?
Andy.
Andy Emery.
Yep, we want to shout out to them. And the rest of the cast, because they had to agree to let us come on it, and yeah, they were real cool about it, you know.
That's true. We appreciate that both nights.
Yeah, so if they listening, we appreciate it, y'all.
Yep. So as we were recording some stuff Thursday, we wrangled up, was talking to Lisa Bedingfield, and then she called Andy Emery over there, and she got her husband Keith over there, and he sat down and talked with us, and we talked for a while. That's when we got to talking about going up to the slam hunt in Selma, Indiana. So we rode to Selma, and they had 127 dogs that night at Thursday night at that slam hunt. That was a heap of people there, more than I thought was going
to
be there.
It was kind of cool to see, too, man. It was right there on the side of a lake or something. It looked like a lake.
It was right on the side of the lake, right there at the public boat ramp.
Yep. I didn't realize that was public.
Yeah, it was a public boat ramp there.
Well, shit fire.
So we left out from there, went hunting. There was a red bone. Keith was hunting that red bone name. They called him, what, Curly Bill?
Yeah, they called him Bill.
And then there was a blue tick and two walkers.
Yep.
That's the first time I've ever been hunting in block woods like that. I've never been in block woods before.
We kindly squirrel hunted coon dogs is what we did.
If we're going to compare it to down here, that's kind of what it was.
That warm-up was a one-hour cast, and so right there at the end of the hunt, it was like 7, 8, 9 minutes left. Bill, that's the red bone, he got out of that patch of woods, crossed over the soybean field into another patch of woods and fell treed. No other dogs backed him. And he had a coon, so he won that cast. Looked good. Looked good doing it. I enjoyed it going out with that one. I bet. We'll have an episode coming out in a couple, I don't know when, but it'll have the conversation with Lisa Bedingfield and Andy Emery and her husband, Keith. Keith has some good stories. He was a good dude to talk to. I listened to some of it today, the audio quality. You can hear the background noise from being in that media center area. But other than that, it wasn't that distracting. It all sounded pretty good. About like it did when we was there. You could kind of hear it, but you didn't pay it much attention. So,
well, they were super nice folks.
They were super nice. Super nice. Yeah, let's talk about Friday.
Do we have to?
We don't need to say nothing bad about it.
We
already got enough editing to do.
I'm going to go ahead and say this. I feel like there needs to be a course on blowing a coon squaller.
Yes.
And that's all I'm going to say.
Where to start on Friday? We ended up going spectating on Friday night.
We had a really funny guy.
He was hilarious. If you're from Indiana and that area, and I don't know if we ought to tell his name. His name is Chris Grass, and they called him Grassy. He was hilarious. He was wide open.
What was funny?
What was he wired? What's the lick?
I'd say he was wired at least 480.
He was wide. He was wide.
Because if you cross him up, he might run backwards.
he was wide open. We'll see. I talked to Trevor Wade and was like, man, we really want to go out with a cast, but we don't want to go out with a cast. You know, we want to kind of stay somewhere local. If we can hook up with a local guide and see if that cast will let us go. And then he kind of pointed us in the right direction, and they ended up contacting this other guy that was there. And it's like, you mind taking these podcasters out? Well, when they call the cast out and we get over there with them and mention it, talking it to the cast and seeing if they mind if we go, none of them really knew us. and they kind of looked at us like we were techies or something. I think they kind of looked at us like the UKC media department.
Like we didn't know what was techies. Going on.
Yeah, like we were like novices, rookies, didn't know. They looked at us like we didn't know shit, basically.
But we know shit.
It might not be much shit, but we know shit. Anyway, so we finally get out to where we're going hunting, and we do the same thing.
And I need to put this out there. Indiana, 20 or 30 minutes is every bit of a freaking hour. If they say we was hunting 20 or 30 minutes from where we was standing.
They really meant an hour.
They meant an hour. They just don't know how to tell time.
Both nights. It was like that.
Both nights. Oh, we ain't hunt but 20 or 30 minutes. An hour later, we pulling up at the hunt spot. And I'm like, this is way further than 20 or 30 minutes at my house.
Yeah, and everything. How far is it? 20, 30 minutes.
Yeah.
20, 30 minutes.
Hell, even when we look still up on our phone trying to go somewhere, it's like 30 minutes.
Everything was at least 30 minutes from everything else.
We ate at a Bob Evans. Shout out to Bob Evans.
Hey, and speaking of Bob Evans, I don't know. We don't know. The woman that was our waitress, she came up to us with a ticket, and she said that these people at the other table.
She said they was coon hunters.
Okay. I just don't know. I don't remember. Man, I was tired when we went into Bob Evans. I didn't remember seeing any.
Me neither.
I wasn't paying attention.
I seen the truck outside with the box in the back, but I didn't look for the people when we come in.
But they said she brought us our ticket and said that this other table said to bring them the most expensive ticket between the two. And they took our bill and paid for it and left us theirs, which ended up being, I ain't going to tell everybody what it ended up being, but. It was
cheaper than what it was going
to
be.
And if you listen to this show and you done that, man, we greatly appreciate the shit out of that. No joke.
Made me feel real famous.
Yeah. So, but we got a lot to cover, man. Let's get on into this hunting trip right here. So, we finally get to where we're going hunting, and we get out there. And they voted that, yeah, spectators can help shine a tree. So, there was other spectators on the cast.
There was 12 of us walking through these
dogs. Yeah, there was 12 people in the woods.
There was 12 people with these four dogs.
We're lagging. We're doing what spectators are supposed to do. We lagging back. But then when we get there and they kind of like, you know, I ain't going to say I felt like I had a point to prove, but I wanted to help find that coon since I felt like that they thought we didn't know nothing about what was going on.
Like,
they actually thought we was like video recording it. And so,
if we would, well, we had a badass camera.
So, we get in there, and there's these things called poke salad. That's what we call it. Up there, they call it poke berries or purple death or whatever kind of names it could be. But it's a big leafy plant and with a purple stalk and purple berries. Well, underneath it, there's this plant that grows straight from the pits of hell.
It almost killed your boy, Daniel.
That grow right up underneath it, called nettles. And they stinging nettles, burning nettles, the hell with nettles.
Daniel nettles.
Now, I know, hold on, I might have to edit that because I believe there's a guy in the lower part of the state named that.
Oh.
That coon hunts.
Well, he'll be all right with it.
I think. I'm pretty sure. I know some nettles in the lower part of the state that do coon hunt.
As long as they don't sting us.
But, so, I decided to, man, we have those poke salad here, but it don't grow like it does up there. It was canopied over like a privet hedge would down here. It was thick. So, I decided I'm going to squat down. I'm going to bust through this mess, and I'm going to get to this opening that I see where I can help shine this tree, and I bust through it. About middle ways through it, I look down at my arms, and the only way I can describe the sensation is it burned, it stung, and it itched at the same time.
He had VD on his arms.
But it was on my neck, too. Because I got down low busting through these bushes. I didn't know what it was. My neck was itching. My arms was itching. I don't know how. Maybe some of it broke off and went down the backside of my waders because I had shorts on. The back of my legs was burning. I was miserable. Miserable. And I still get cold chills thinking about that. And now I know why them older people had on long sleeve shirts in there. And now I know. Don't lie. I'm over there. But I'm trying not to freak out because I don't know what in the world has done got a hold of me or what I done went through. And I'm helping shine a tree. And I hear Dustin over to the side. Something has got my hands itching.
But it didn't burn me, though, dude. It just itched my hand and my forearm a little bit. And I was thinking their poke salad was kind of weird compared to ours at home. And it made you itch.
Well, by the time he said that, I was looking at the poke salad like, what the hell's going on? But like he said, I just itched real bad. Only on my hand.
Yeah, and it only lasted on me about 10 minutes, and it was through.
See, I busted through that stuff like Billy Badass. Like, I was...
And it proved you wrong.
It tore. Sit down.
Got him.
It got me good. It got me good. It mucked and breasted my night up. It mucked my whole damn night up. It just would not... It was like...
It damn near messed your whole weekend up, bro.
It did. That was
it's PTSD because of
it's
everywhere.
Somebody told me we got it down here,
but it don't grow like that. That no. was rough.
That Scott was rough, rough. Scott told me that we got it because he said his grandboy got into it the other day, and said he just wiped him off with a baby wipe and sent him on the back playing.
And say everybody I've commented on Facebook and people have been like, y'all get down in the creek. And get it off. And I'm like,
there wasn't no creek.
I never saw a creek.
I never seen
no water.
We hunted two nights and never hunted near a creek anywhere.
You know, Keith said rub dirt on it and it'll stop after you done that and freaked out a little bit.
But I just sweated it out.
I think I just sweated it off because it didn't last very long for me.
It lasted a while. It tore me up.
You should have told me, man, I'd have peed on you.
Yeah,
that wouldn't happen either.
Jellyfish thing.
Be still, damn it.
I got to get it off your neck.
No, but anyway, that's kind of how that went. That cast, there's an English dog ended up winning with like 50 plus, something like that. But
yeah, his name was Lurch.
Lurch.
I found that coon.
Yeah,
he did. He showed out on him.
I never did see that coon. I never did care to look at that coon. I was still trying.
That one.
I was still struggling. I was burning.
I found our way out the woods.
Yeah, that was another thing too. It's like, how are you gonna get lost
in a 10-acre damn patch of woods? It was surrounded by soybean fields, and it's a square patch of woods too.
Yeah,
we could walk all the way around it. Yep. No time.
And that one dude, he's like, "Y'all going the wrong way. Truck's over there. I'm following my Garmin." I'm like, "Well." Damn.
Ryan's fat ass beat him to the truck.
I didn't
beat him to the truck. I was behind that slow feller.
Oh, yeah.
The one that wasn't walking fast.
Same thing. Yeah. He just couldn't walk fast, man. He was still giving it all he got, though. I applaud him for being in the woods.
Oh, he was a trooper. He went on through there. I don't know his name.
No.
But he had a walking stick, and he made it through a whole lot better than what I thought he was.
Yeah.
He did pretty good.
A cripple feather. Let's just go ahead and tell y'all. He's cripple feather. But we don't know what actually was wrong with him, but you could tell he was crippled. But he was making it through the woods like better than some non-cripple folks we know.
That's true.
Oh, yeah. Tell them about the feather we seen walking down the street.
Oh, we seen somebody tote that damn machete. He had a machete hooked to his belt loop.
Just walking down the middle of a town, too. Like he wasn't out in the bushes, nothing. He was walking through the middle of town with that song on.
He was proud of it.
I'm trying to think. I do know we got an Apple review that we got to read because it's from the people at Jukebox Kennels.
Oh.
That was awesome.
We got to give them a shout out, too, man. It was like the most famous people we met, I feel like.
Jake and Michelle Perkins.
Yeah.
Big shout out to them, dude. Like, they were some of the coolest people we met up there, man.
And I felt like they was famous. And they felt like I was famous. So we had a mutual agreement.
Yeah, man, because they in with the Jukebox Kennels. And if you run cur dogs.
Legendary cur dogs.
You know about the Jukebox.
And if you don't, you don't know about cur dogs.
That's right. Yep. Oh, Clayton Stark left us a review, dude.
Oh, really?
Heck yeah. I'm looking at it right now. He left it yesterday.
I tell you what, I'll read this one, and then you can read that review that Clayton Stark left.
Okay.
It was so great to meet you guys. Hope you all do decide to come to Ohio and hunt with the boys. Daniel's new puppy was absolutely adorable. Can't wait to hear the stories of her training. Thanks for putting on a podcast, Jake and Michelle Perkins. Hey, we appreciate y'all coming and talking to us and introducing yourself. And I meant,
because up until that point, I kind of felt like nobody noticed us. They was like the first people to come over. Yeah. There. I was like, oh shit, somebody knows who we are.
And then you found out that they were, you know, hunt dogs with jukebox kennels, and then y'all were kind of like, man, that's, y'all were like celebrities to us.
Yeah, dude, I went over and talked to Ron Smith for like at least an hour. Seemed like he just telling me all about the dogs.
Did you touch his dogs?
I didn't ever touch his dogs. I should have. Might have rubbed some luck off on me.
Right, right.
I'm telling you, dude, I'm thinking about going to, in Ohio when River comes in heat and breeding to iPod, if they'll let me.
I feel like they would.
I feel like they would, too. Because I looked in her papers, and they ain't no jukebox blood in her. So it'd be a heck of an outcross for that 2020 line. Might get some freaking world burners.
Yeah. Look at, I mean, John, he came over, and he stayed over there at the table and talked with us for a while.
Jake, man. Jake.
I mean, Jake. I don't know why I keep saying John. Dumbass. I'm terrible with names. If I don't write it down, it takes me a minute to, like, memorize somebody's name. I kind of have to keep going through my head and making myself. Anyway, Jake, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to offend you.
I want to go up there with him and do that coyote hunting like you said, man. Too. Golly, that seems like it'd be fun.
It does do that. Hey, read that other one.
All right. This one here, the header says, it's from Clayton Stark, and the header says, my favorite podcast. It was great meeting you all at Autumn Oaks. I love Halloween, fall, and stuff like that. Combining coon hunting with stories of the unknown is perfect for me. I listened to one of your episodes where you talked about a dog treeing Bigfoot, and I don't know if you've seen my video treed or not, but I got a cur that trees cornfield monsters. You might want to see that one. I actually have seen that, and it is hilarious.
Really?
Yes, it is so funny, man. It's like a horror movie that he done with his cur dog. It's awesome.
I have to check this out when we get done recording. Yeah, I kind of want to see that now.
Yeah. It's pretty good, man. I liked it. I laughed.
Okay. All in all, overall opinion, Autumn Oaks. What you think, Ryan?
I'm going back next year.
Going back next year for sure.
Me too. Going back next year. Okay.
With or without y'all.
Now, let's do the comparison. Autumn Oaks versus Grand American.
Less people.
Right. Less foot traffic, but the atmosphere.
The atmosphere is a lot more laid back. There's a lot more big name dogs there, I feel like.
Yeah.
There was a lot more.
There were that. There were, as far as set up.
As far as hunting in it, too.
Hunting in it and, like, out there, like, stud areas. They were, like, promoting their stud dogs because there was, like, Frogger, Willie, Lane, Denny, and them, and I know I'm going to miss them, but you had like
Money in the Bank. Little Money.
You had a Big Lee.
Big Lee.
You had Shaq. That was Cheyenne and Dalton Cummins' dog.
Yeah, Shaq was there.
I'm trying to think how many more.
But which one of them did they say it bred like five bitches on the ground that weekend?
Bushwhacker.
Right.
Was there.
Bushwhacker was there.
Kraken was around there somewhere. I know we hunted.
Yeah, he was there.
We seen him when they called out the Grand 16.
I seen where he was. I'm pretty sure I seen him sitting over there.
And Big Lee is a huge dog.
Kraken just ain't that flashy looking of a dog to me. He didn't stand out.
Yeah, I mean, I agree.
But that was the big thing.
And then Gilman's Black and Tans were there. I don't know. They wasn't hunting roll. What dog was they hunting?
Oh, damn. You had to put me on the spot on that one. I think it was Rat. I think that's that dog's name. I'm pretty sure. But, you know, I mentioned several months ago about having that nostalgic feeling for a black and tan male. Well, my dad and I got a black and tan male puppy from Gilman's Black and Tans. And I felt like it was a pretty good chance as any with them dogs, with that line of dogs, because
We done heard that name like two or three times up there on Thursday and just happened to run in to see these black and tan puppies, and it was fitting, man. So y'all have the chance to hear about how my dog be doing. Ryan's got some dogs that need to be put in the woods.
Hopefully my homeboy Daniel lets me go with him tonight.
I was wanting to go tonight.
Take one of them with me.
I think you ought to take Bubba.
Yeah, I might as well. I don't know. I really don't know.
I'm taking my
He don't walk on the leash as good as the other one does. I walked in today.
Well, take the female then. What's her name?
Take her. I took her walking in the woods yesterday. She pink. Big Lee.
That's right.
Big Lee's pinky finger. That's her name. Not my damn pinky finger. You should have just took out your crayons and drawn a damn picture of a pinky finger on a slip of paper and put that in your envelope, Earl.
Oh, goodness. Almighty. I figured that was where that come from.
Yeah. If you want to know the truth, there's a strip club on the way back named the Pink 301. It's the Pink something or other. I don't want to say the name of it. But I was like, I'm going to name her after that strip club, Pink.
Yeah.
And then my great-grandpa that I talk about that lived here, he had a brother named Pink. So I was like, I was going with Pink. And then my daddy's the one that thought of Big Lee's Pinky Finger because of that movie. My damn Pinky Finger.
And I owe you.
Well, I'll be doing.
Torn down my Dixie Chicks poster. Beat my face all in.
I mean, I got snot coming out my nose. I mean, I'm scared. Man, we ain't said nothing about Steve Fielder. He going to be upset.
Oh, yeah, dude. I finally got to meet Mr. Steve and Mr. Nubbin. And Mr. Nubbin is hilarious.
Yes.
That song line is so funny.
He give us some good advice on dogs.
He sure did.
Dustin.
I'll take it,
he give us. He's funny. I mean, he's so funny. I tried to get him to sit down and record, and he wouldn't do it. He kept like, nah.
He was telling us a story about a gnawing dog, and Daniel pipes in and says, yeah, I got that problem.
He started gnawing.
I about fell out of my chair.
And then Steve told him that he done converted us. I forgot what he said.
He said, amen.
Yeah, Mr. Nubbin, he thinks that a lot of these stories are bull crap. And he was like, I don't believe that shit. And he said it was making him listen to it on the way up there. And he was like, did he hear something? I don't believe that shit.
When he said that amen, that was my Papa James. I'm going to tell you. He's like, they done converted me, Nubbin. Amen.
But and then walked off. Yeah. He said amen, turned around, walked off.
And then we met that young boy that's hunting Mr. Steve's dog for him, and he was real cool too, man. Steve rolls with a cool crew, man.
I'm trying to think, man. Is there anything else we need to talk about? Anybody else? I'm trying to think. Trevor Wade, I appreciate you recording with us.
Yep.
Dude from Boneyard Outdoors and his youngins.
Oh, yeah. Muncie Outdoors.
Boneyard Outdoors.
Boneyard.
Josh Muncie.
Yeah.
Yeah, they stopped by and talked with us a minute. That was real cool meeting them, for sure. That was cool.
We ain't even talked about this episode right here.
No, and it's a great episode. That's the bad part.
What's to talk about?
It's so good.
Let's let them listen to it. Hell.
Yeah. This is in one of my favorite conversations that we've recorded so far.
Yes. It's a good listen.
That's a good one.
Man, there's crazy stories. There's funny stories. There's coon hunting. There's all kinds of stuff that goes on. It's well worth listening. It's an hour long. It's 56 minutes of conversation. But other than that, I think we've covered the bases. What all went on at Autumn Oaks. I don't even think we're going to come back after this episode to talk about it. Once this conversation is over, we're going to go on into the ending, because I don't want to ruin it by talking about it afterwards. So we're going to get on into this episode, and we'll be back for episode 21. And
peace out.
Anyway, we're going to get on into this, and hey, y'all get them dogs in the woods, get them tuned up, and happy hunting. So you live in, what'd you say, Southeast Illinois?
Actually, it's Central Illinois. Name of the town is Low Point. I'm kind of like an hour and a half north of Springfield and an hour and a half south of Chicago.
You've been coon hunting for a while, haven't you?
Yeah, I started when I was 16, and I'm 62 now, so that's quite a few years. Only time I didn't coon hunt was when I had my youngest two were born. I took a couple years off, but other than that, I've been hunting walkers, and I think I had five pretty good ones over the years.
That's all right, right there. Do you have a certain line of walkers that you like to hunt, or you just kind of took them as they came? Because I mean, I would say that's how I've been. I haven't like preferred one line of walkers and kind of stuck with it. It's been you know, I come across this dog or this young dog, and none of them have actually been off the same bloodline, really.
Well, the first one I got, and I can't even tell you what it was out of, just a couple behind the barn, but I got it when I was 16. It was an accidental breeding of a brother and sister. And without a doubt, it was the best dog I've ever had in my life. And he was colored up like Trackman, only better. And when I take him to the shows, he would prance like a Tennessee walking horse. And he was just bad to the bone on coons. When I first started hunting him, that was the first one I ever had, and I didn't know anything about it. And I was taking him out at 3 months old. He could barely get over the logs. And I'd take him out night after night. And one night he got up on the tree and started smelling. I can't tell you how old he was, but he was still pretty young. And I knocked the coon out. Coon come running by me and shot in a hole, and that pup was right behind it and shot in that hole. And you heard him going to it, and then you heard that pup start yelping and just yelping and yelping, and he backs out, and that coon's lash just right below the eye just lashed on his face, and that pup cannot get that coon off. And he's trying everything, rolling, swinging him, and finally, I mean, I'm talking like minutes that coon's lashed on him, and finally that dog started spinning around, circling, was spinning so fast that the coon's feet came off the ground, and he was swinging around like a tether ball, and their heads met at a little tree, and it was just a pop, and Joe flew one way and the coon flew the other way, and that coon got up and took off, and that dog took up and caught it, killed it. And from that day on, all that dog wanted to do was catch and kill coons, and that would have ruined a lot of puppies, but it had just the opposite effect on him.
It lit a fire.
Yeah, and I can't tell you the breeding on him, but then when I got back into coon hunting, when my youngest one wanted to start, I went out to Ohio and got a Lipper Nailer female from a guy named Gary Welsh out there. And she would have been out of Windy Hills Lipper, which to this day, I'm sure there's others just like him, but when that dog would tree and I was probably 20, 30 yards away from him, I could feel the vibrations in my feet. That's how loud that dog was. And then I took that Lipper Nailer female and bred her to Blister, Rock River Blister. And I kept one back that was a really good female. She ended up in Texas being a night champion. And then I took that same Lipper Nailer female and took her down to Kentucky and bred her to High Expectations. And I had a dog that I named Moon that was just, that boy could fly on a track. He's a tracking machine. And pretty accurate. He was a pretty good dog. And then after he died, I ended up getting a pup, and it ended up being out of Bad Boy George Jones, or George Strait, I'm sorry. Bad Boy George Strait and Mojo's Rock and Roz out in Indiana. Some of Josh Jones's breeding. And her name's Jitter. It's really Crow Creek Jitterbug. And that's what we're hunting now. And I think she's a pretty tough little female. She's doing pretty good. She's night champion. We're working on granding her, me and my kid. So, no, I don't have anything in just particular that I hunt, but if I like it, I'll hunt it.
Oh, yeah. When you said Naylor and what dog did you say it was again?
It was Lipper Naylor.
Oh, yeah. When you said
the cross. And the stud dog that she was out of was Windy Hills Lipper, which was directly out of House's Lipper.
I know good and well that dog had a good mouth. Like,
yeah.
I don't believe that it would have been possible for any dog out of that litter to not have a good mouth unless they completely barked themselves out on a chain or something like that.
Right. Well, this female had a big, big male mouth. Everybody always thought it was a big male out there. And big ball that she'd drag out, I mean, was pretty nice to listen to.
Speaking of dogs, you had an incident that happened with some dogs when you were younger that you sent me a message and was telling me about.
Yeah.
And
yeah, that would have been around 1978. I would have been 18 years old. And everything I'm telling you here that happened in the woods, I put my hand on a Bible. But there was this place out north of Metamora, which is a town I grew up just outside of. And there was this old house on this hill, and I always knew it by Hatchet Hill. That's what me and my buddies always knew it by. And supposedly, the story I was told was there was a couple that lived there, and I took it as an elderly couple, but I don't know for sure. And the guy was gone for the day, and he came home and could not find his wife, and he walked out in the kitchen, and there was blood all over the kitchen, and there was a trail of blood leading out the back door, across the yard, and into the woods there. And I was told that they went trying to find her, and they tracked till they couldn't find any more blood, and they looked and looked and never did find the woman. And I don't know if that could be totally true. It could be just a story somebody made up because it sounded good. But that's the story I was always told. And this particular night, we were hunting out close to Hatchet Hill. I didn't realize it because we came in an opposite way. And I was 18. I was hunting with two guys that were 10 years older than me. And we got out there, and I was hunting Joe, and we cut the dogs loose. And probably, I'm going to say, 3 minutes later, they struck in, and they're running a track. And they're running this track for maybe 4 minutes max. And the one guy looks at the other guy. I'm trying not saying names here because I'm sure they don't want me saying their names when I'm talking about this, but one guy looked at the other guy and he said, Hey, you think them dogs are getting out a little too far? And the other guy goes, yeah, I think they are. Maybe we ought to catch them all and get them back. And I said, what are you guys talking about? We just cut them loose. No. We think they're getting out too far. And I said, out too far for what? And they just looked at each other. Neither one wanted to tell me nothing. I said, come on, man. Why don't you guys tell me what's going on? Well, that night we were hunting. It was a breezy night. I wouldn't say real windy, but there was a pretty good breeze. And tree limbs were all shaking and stuff. And so he started telling me. He said, we were out hunting close to this same area 2 weeks ago. And he said, we cut our dogs loose and they're out hunting. And he said, it was a breezy night, just like tonight. And all at once, the wind stopped. And he said, it went from windy to just dead still, nothing. And he said, we're standing there just kind of looking at each other, and they could hear something walk. And he said it was just like somebody walking a circle around them. But he said every time they'd shine their lights over there, there wasn't nothing there. But he said you could hear it plain as day. And he said, we're shining and trying to figure out what it is. And he said, about that time, we heard our dogs start growling. And he said, we looked up, shine your lights over there, and here come both of our dogs backing through the woods, tail between their legs, hair all ruffled up, showing all their teeth, just growling with everything they had. And he said, we just grabbed the dogs and left. Right when he got to that point, I'm telling you guys, the wind stopped. And I'm not talking like about a 1 minute, 2 minute slowdown, whatever. I don't know if you guys seen the Avenger movies, but in the Avenger movies, the guy snaps his finger and everything changes. That's exactly what it was. Somebody snapped their fingers and that wind went from windy to dead still, and you could drop a pin and hear it. That's how quiet it was. And the dogs weren't barking whatsoever. It was just dead still. And these two guys looked at each other and turned white as snow. And being the non-believer smart aleck kid I was, I started laughing at them. I couldn't help it. I was laughing. And about, I'm going to say maybe 15, 20 seconds later, I hear this growling. And we all turn our lights and shine over there, and here's my dog Joe that I've never seen scared of nothing in his life, and he's walking backwards through the woods, and on each side of him is one of them other dogs, and it's all like they're synchronized walking back, and they're all growling, and they got their tails between their legs and their hair up, and they're all staring at the same spot. They won't take their eyes off that spot. And I still can't figure out to this day how he knew where to walk when he was walking backwards. But Joe walked right into me and got against my legs, and that dog was pushing with everything he had. And these other guys are going, let's get out of here, let's get out of here. You know, and they're all leashing up their dogs. So I leashed up my dog, and I'm still trying to figure out what was out there, you know. And I kept running through my head, let's go. So anyway, we got in the truck, we're leaving, and I said, all right, guys, what do you think was out there? And neither one answered. I said, what do you think was out there? And, don't know, don't know. And that's all they'd ever say, and they brought me to my truck, and they left. And I didn't get an answer that night, but for the next, I don't know how many years, when I'd see one of them guys, I'd ask them, well, what they thought was out there. And it was either they wouldn't answer me, or they'd say, I don't know. Don't know. And I kept trying to run through my mind what that dog could be scared of that bad to see him walk backwards through the woods like I did. Because I ain't never seen a dog walk backwards, and I saw three of them do it at the same time. And you know, what came to my mind first was like a mountain lion. Maybe we had a mountain lion migrate here from one of the other states. But then I kept thinking about every time they said they shine their light where they heard them footsteps, there wasn't nothing there. And I want to say right now, I was one of the non-believers on stuff. I know there's guys out here that are laughing at this show, some of the stuff these guys come up with, and I used to be one of them. And when I think of ghosts, I always thought of like Ghostbusters or Casper. You know, I don't believe in ghosts, but when you're talking about spirits, it talks about spirits in the Bible, where Jesus cast the evil spirit out of that man, and they went in the hogs, and the hogs all ran down to the river and drowned themselves. So if you believe in the Bible, you have to believe in spirits. So I do believe in that, but I still can never get an answer from these guys. And a couple years ago, our club was having a weenie hunt. That's what we call them anyway. And that's where we all, anybody in the club who wants to come down there, we sit down there and roast hot dogs and shoot the bull and stuff. And then once it gets dark, whoever brought dogs will take our dogs out and we'll have a pleasure hunt. And we had one of these a couple years ago. And my kid was with me, and he's heard me tell him this story before, more than once. And it just so happened, one of the guys who was with me that night in the woods was there at this weenie hunt. And it just dawned on me, I never did get an answer from that guy what he thought that was. And he always dodges my question. And I thought, if I ask him point blank, right here in front of everybody, he has to give me an answer. He can't sidestep it, you know? And so that's what I did. I said, hey, you remember that night me and you and that other guy were out coon hunting? And I could tell when he looked at me, he knew what I was talking about. And he said, Rel, there's a lot of nights we went coon hunting. And I said, yeah, but on this particular night, it was windy and then it went to dead still. I said, and then the next thing you hear is growling coming out of the woods. And all three of them dogs walk backwards. I said, you remember that night? And he goes, I remember that night. I said, well, what do you think that was? And everybody's looking at him. So he's got to come up with something. And he said, it was a ghost. And I'm going to say everybody else at the weenie hunt was laughing at him. I wasn't laughing because I was there that night. And he got irritated, which I can understand. And he said, don't believe me? You talk to the landowner whose ground we hunted on. They had to do an exorcism on that house. So I happen to know the landowner, but I went to school with one of his boys. And so I called him up and I was talking about Hatchet Hill, and he was really cautious with everything he said. And he goes, you know, Rel, they've been saying for years that that ground's haunted back there. And I said, yeah. And he said, you know, I was talking to a guy. He said that telling me about weird things that happened to their dogs that were hunting out there that he never seen before. And I said, yeah, I was with him that night. Well, it ended up that my buddy here I went to school with, his brother and wife ended up buying a house that was real close to Hatchet Hill, also close to his dad's ground, because they kind of joined each other there. And they lived at this house, and then they knocked down this old farmhouse at Hatchet Hill, and weird things started happening at their house. And I guess there was a bunch of them, but what I know about is they'd come down in the morning, the cupboard drawers would be open, there'd be stuff sitting on the counter that was in the drawers the night before. They'd hear footsteps going up and down the steps. But my buddy was telling me, he's talking to his brother, and he said, here's the weirdest thing. He said, me and my wife were laying in bed, and he said, I was so tired, I was trying to sleep. And she wanted to keep reading this book, so she had this lamp on. And he said his brother asked her like 3-4 times to turn off the lamp so he'd go to sleep. And she said, no, I want to read this book. So he's laying there, and he reaches around the bed, grabs the cord that's hooked to the lamp, and unplugs it from the wall. And of course, there's no more light. And he said, about 15 seconds later, that lamp come back on. And he said, the weird thing about it, I was still holding that unplugged cord in my hand.
Had a lift right then.
There's a little more to this story, too. Okay, and then I guess after that happened, then they kind of had enough. So they got a preacher to come out and do an exorcism on their house. And once he did that exorcism, I guess everything returned to normal. But their neighbor, who also happens to be a kid I went to school with, who's an electrician, lives right down the road, weird things started happening at their house. And he said, like the first day when they did the exorcism, that night he was coming home from work, and he said the porch light was on. And he's an electrician, and he said, I'm telling you, that light was 10 times brighter than it ever should have been. He said, it hurt your eyes to look at it. That's how bright that light was. But he was telling my buddy, he said, but the weird thing about it, he said, that light had been burned out for over 2 years. So supposedly now they're at the electrician's house. And this girl we went to school with, one of these people who can supposedly see spirits, and she went down there and she could see three spirits, and she described them to him. One was a little boy. I don't remember what the other two were. But they got these spirits at their house, and my buddy was like me. He's one of them guys who give them crap all the time. He was talking to the electrician on the phone, and he said, how's life there with all your little buddies? Are you keeping them happy? What you guys all been up to, you know? And the electrician goes, they're going to be messing with you next. And my buddy I went to school with said, just like that, his phone started doing weird stuff that it's never done before. And lights flashing, he never even knew were on there. And he said it'd be hung up and it'd be ringing. And he answered it, but there would be nobody there and no caller ID, like nobody ever called. And he said this stuff went on with his phone for a little while. And then he said one day he was down at this electrician's house, and this gal who could see these spirits was down there. And he said that there was a van in the driveway. He said probably 20 yards away. And it was just parked there. And he said, I was really giving him the crap. I was asking him, what do you do at supper time when all your little buddies want to eat? Do you got enough chairs for everybody? And he said, I was laughing my butt off. He said, I'm really giving him crap. And he said, the next thing I know, that passenger window of that van, which is closest to us, goes all the way down. And then it goes all the way up. And then it goes all the way down. There's nobody in the van. He said, it goes back up and back down. And he said, it just keeps doing it. And so he walked over there, what was going on, and he said, as soon as I put my hand on that door handle, it stopped. So he said, I walked around, and he said, I was gonna put that window up, and he said, I turned the keys to put it up, and that vehicle was totally dead, had no juice whatsoever. Well, then this electrician and his wife decided they were going to try taking control of stuff, and they didn't get an exorcism, but they talked to some priests, I guess, and they told them what passages to read out of the Bible. And so the electrician's wife and the electrician started, I guess, at one end of the house. Electrician was beating pots and pans together, saying, you're not welcome here. You're not welcome here. Why, his wife was reading these verses out of the Bible, and they just, I guess, worked their way back and forth across their house till they came to the closet, which would have been the last room on that side of the wall there. And supposedly they had pushed them into the closet, and they laid the Bible on the floor and scooted it, left it open to that passage and scooted it against that door. And I was talking to my buddy I went to school with. He said, if you go in that house, if you went down there today to talk to him and you walked in that house, he said that Bible's still open to that passage and is still pushed against that closet. Now, he told me supposedly he couldn't remember which show. He said Ghostbusters or one of them Ghost Myth shows came down to the electrician's house with their psychics who could see and all their test stuff. And supposedly they did confirm that there were three spirits there. Two white spirits and a dark spirit, which I don't know what any of that means, but that's what I was told. And that's about all I know on that. But that night many years ago, I'll remember like it was yesterday, them dogs walking backwards through the woods.
Man, that's crazy, man. Like, it is like the dogs quit the track and everything and then came back in. It's like it corralled them up or something and backed them in. Like, they came back into to y'all.
Yeah, I don't ever remember Joe quitting a track. But, man, I mean, none of them wanted anything. They just wanted out of there.
Yeah, that's a wild story. That's some haunted woods right there. I mean, I think that's some bad spirits hanging out in that neck of the woods for some reason.
Yeah, you'd think they'd come running out, you know, but it wasn't that. They would not take their eyes off whatever them dogs could see that I couldn't see. And being one of them guys who's hard to convince, I'm probably going to be the last one to ever see something like that. But them dogs knew it was there, and they could see it plain as day.
I worked with a guy that was trying to take a picture of his dog at Christmas time. And he couldn't get the dog to look at him. It kept looking up to the side like it was looking at somebody. And there wasn't nobody that was there. He took the picture, and then you can see like a figure standing beside the dog. And it was a guy I worked with. He showed me the picture. I seen it. And it looks kind of like a Civil War soldier. And he lives right across the road from the graveyard where General Thomas Sumter or whatever is buried. It's pretty weird. But it's like his dog could see it, and he couldn't. So, yeah. I do believe in that. I do believe they can see spirits or demons or whatever they are when we couldn't.
I believe that. I believe.
Yeah, I believe there's spirits out there like Bigfoot or something. I know I heard that podcast, that guy talking. I know that guy believes it plain as day. And I'm not saying he's wrong, but I'm still going to say that I'm one of them guys. I need to see it for sure to believe it. You know what I'm saying? And what I saw that night made me a believer.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure. Man, I can just visualize it. I don't know what that was went on. It's bad spirit or something. But
is that land still huntable, or is it like developed or been sold?
No, it's still a wooded area. My buddy's dad died, and he lives at the place now. But the guy who took me out there, I would have hunted that ground. But a guy I was hunting with already had permission. And I was one of them guys, I never tried pushing in on anybody's spot.
I agree with you 100% on that, yeah.
And he said that he asked some old-timers who he thought hunted back there if they ever hunted back there. And they said, yeah, we hunted back there. He said, do you ever hit any coons? And he said, oh, yeah, we hit coons back there. He said, did you ever tree any? And I said, no, now that you say that, we never did tree a coon back there on that ground. And this guy never has either.
All that bad juju in there.
Something.
Yep.
But if you guys got time for it, I got a funny story I'd like to tell you.
Oh, yeah. We got time for it. We like funny.
Well, I thought it was funny. Actually, I got more than one of them, but... This would have been, I'm guessing, I'm really terrible with time, but I'm guessing like maybe 10, 15 years ago, five of us went coon hunting together. And it was my boy Jacob and our buddy Ray and a couple buddies we had that our brothers, Steve and Danny. And we went to this ground I have and we cut the dogs loose and they ended up running and they treed and they're treeing away. And we walk out there and it's a big oak tree. And this oak tree is sitting right on the edge of this cliff. It's all slanted by that oak tree, except there's a 3-foot area you can stand right beside the tree. Other than that, you can't step off because you'll slide right down in that cliff. And they got the coon, and I don't want to shoot that coon out and have him go out the back down that cliff and dogs pile to a 30-foot drop off, and we got dead or dogs or busted up dogs or whatever. So I start looking around. I find some CBs in there, and I said, I got an idea. I said, I'm going to nail that coon in the butt. When he jumps out, the only place he can go is through that thicket, and we can recut the dogs. They'll go in that thicket and tree it. Everybody thought that's a pretty good idea. So this guy named Steve, he'd bought a dog from me, a pup, who would have been 11-month-old, named Mojo. He was a clover dog, and he had a huge mouth on him. I didn't want to sell that pup, but Steve just kept bugging the crap out of me till I couldn't take it no more. And he had a huge mouth on him, and he was just getting where he was really clicking. And so everybody's standing back, you know, 20, 25 yards from the tree because you can't get close to it because you'll slide down that cliff. And I'm there with them CBs, and I pop him in the butt and waiting for him to jump out, but he runs up another branch. And so I hit him with another one, and he runs down and up another branch. And I see somebody moving, and I'm looking, and every time I hit that coon with the CB, Steve will take a couple steps forward trying to get Mojo in there first. And that coon just will not jump out of that tree for nothing. CBs are like hitting with a little pellet gun. He will not jump out. And pretty soon, I keep hitting him, and Steve's clear up to that tree. And he's standing on that 3-foot place, the only place you can stand without sliding down. And he's right underneath that tree. And he's got Mojo right there. Everybody else is 20-some yards back holding their dogs, but he's right under that tree. And I hit that coon again. And that coon was up there. And that coon comes running and bails out of that tree. And smack hits Steve square in the back right between the shoulder blades. And that coon bails off him. Of course, Steve drops his leash. Mojo's after that coon. Everybody else lets go of their dogs. And they're all shooting through the thicket after that coon, you know. And a couple of the guys are heading that way. And I look over there at Steve, and he's staggering around like he was drunk. I mean, he couldn't walk a white line if he had to. He's just staggering all over like he's going to fall over.
Whiplashed him.
All at once, he stops staggering, and he just stands there still as can be for like 2-3 seconds. And I didn't even know Steve could run. And he just takes off like a bullet running, man. And he's running, but he's running the opposite way of the coon and the dogs. He's running across a pasture out there, and he keeps going. And I looked at, you see his light bobbing up and down. I said to Jake, I said, where's Steve going? And he shrugged his shoulders. He said, hell if I know, I don't have a clue.
Knocked him loopy.
So Steve, I mean, he didn't run a little ways either. It's like he'd run a marathon. He went a long ways. And then I see his light stop out there. And Jake head for the other guy. So everybody else is in the thicket with the dogs that are treeing in there. And I'm waiting for Steve. And I want to see what's going on. And he comes walking back and he's just huffing and puffing something terrible. I said, Steve, what's going on? He goes, that coon hit me. And my back stung so bad, I thought he was hanging on me. And he said, all I could picture in my mind was all five of them dogs piling on top of me. So I was trying to outrun them. Yeah, I had to sit down for a while. I was laughing so hard. Yeah,
that's funny as hell. That sounds like getting bitten.
Now,
yeah.
What is a CB, man?
They're about half the size of a short.
Okay.
22. You got your long rifles, your shorts, and CBs are like half of them.
Really? That's what we would call a short.
Yeah, okay. They sound about like a pellet gun when they go off.
What about them? Is that like something similar to like rat shot?
No.
You ain't never seen one, dude. They little bitty.
Yeah, they don't have a terrible lot of power. I mean, if you hit them in the right spot, you can usually knock them out. Otherwise, man, you got to pop them maybe 6, 7, 8 times. You never know.
Let him have it. Bah, 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 bah,
bah. But we still give Steve crap about that whenever we talk to him.
Yeah, that's pretty good stuff there.
Yeah, that's pretty good stuff.
I didn't even know that big old boy could run, man, and he just kept going.
I thought he was still on me.
Back when I was 19 years old, been about a year after this spirit thing, I was hunting some woods north of me, and I was hunting Joe, and I was hunting by myself, which I did a lot of times. And Joe had a pretty good mouth. He had a pretty decent ball on track, and he was fairly loud, but it was real clear. I mean, you could hear it. And that was back before we had trackers, so if you lost your dog, you might not be getting your dog back. You never know. And I was hunting him up at these woods, and he struck in a track, and he's running this track. It sounds real good, man. He's hitting it and taking it through the middle of the woods, and he gets out just a little ways, and all at once I can't hear him. I cannot hear that dog. And so I'm listening. I can't hear him. So I take off running the way he was, because once they're out of hearing distance, you don't know what's going on. And I ran for a ways and stopped, and I could just barely hear that dog, just barely. And so I take off running in that direction, and I stop, and I can still just barely hear him. And so I took off running again, and I ran down there, and I stopped, and I can still barely hear him, but now he's behind me instead of in front of me. And I thought, what in the heck? So I turn around, I'm shining all over, I can't find him, and I'm heading back up that hill, and I come to this tree that's got a hole in the bottom, and this dog Joe had squeezed in that hole, and he was up in that tree, treeing that coon. And that's why I couldn't hear him. So I reached up that hole, and I got Joe out of there, and I thought, I'm going to take a look and see. And so I laid on my back and stuck my head up there, and I could see that coon. It was a big coon. He's probably 20 feet up. And so I was trying to think. I thought, it ain't going to be too bad to get this coon. I hunted with a Winchester semi-automatic that holds 16 shells, and I had it loaded up. So I worked that gun in that hole, and coons back then, I could get $40 for this coon. And so I stuck that rifle up that hole and bam, 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 pull the gun out, and I wait, and nothing. And I thought, what the heck? So I stuck it back in there, bam, 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 and I pulled it back out. Nothing. Coon don't fall. I end up emptying that whole tube of bullets, and that coon don't fall. And I thought, what in the heck? So I stick my head back up there, and here he is, still up there. So I load it back up again, and I'm used to shooting once or twice and getting the coon and being done. Now, and so So I tried it again. I said, it's just a straight up shot. And I shot maybe half the clip. And that coon didn't fall. And I just stopped because I'm going to run out of bullets now. I ain't going to get the coon. Probably hit him. He's going to end up dying. My dog ain't going to get him. And I thought, man, I need to rethink this. So I figured out if I wanted to get that coon for sure, the only way I was going to get him was line him up in my sights. And so I figured that's what I'd try doing. So I laid on my back and I scooted my head in. I had my gun in the tree, but I couldn't get my arms in there to shoot. And so I scooted a little bit more, got my arms in, but now I'm still kind of at an angle. I can't shoot that coon. So I'm trying to get in that hole, and that hole was smaller than I originally thought. And I mean, it's getting tight, and I'm digging my heels in, laying on my back, bend my knees and dig my heels in, and I push, and it scoots me in a couple inches. And so now I'm in that tree. I get in there far enough. I'm got my head and my arms and my upper chest is in this hole in this tree. And it's pretty fairly tight, you know, and I used to be pretty fast back when I was in my prime, and I had really fast reflexes. So I was figuring all this out. This coon's 20 foot above me, and he's spread eagle hanging there. Front paws hanging on one side of the tree, and the back paws are hanging on the other side of the tree, and he's just spread across. And it's just like I'm looking up a tunnel, and he's just hanging there. And I had it figured out before I got in that hole that I could shoot that coon and get out of that hole before that coon hit the ground. That was my plan. But once that hole was tighter than I thought it was, man, I was kind of reassessing it a little bit, and I was trying to find a place where I could push off with my arms, and there really wasn't none. And I've shot tons of coons out. I knew how fast a coon fell, and I got it figured out in my head. I can still beat that coon out of that before he hits that ground. I can still get out of that hole if everything goes right. A lot of times some coons will hang on like 3-4 seconds. So I thought I got enough time. So I got all ready and got my heels dug in, and I'm reaching around, seeing where I can grab the pole to pull me back out of that hole. And I aim at that coon, and bam, I mean, perfect shot. But the second that bullet hit that coon, he's falling, and he's coming down this tube, and I am trying with everything I got to get out of this freaking hole, and I just cannot. I can't get out of this hole. And I'm running on pure adrenaline, because this coon's falling faster than any coon I ever seen fall in my life. And he's like 10 foot above my head right now, coming right at my face. And I just pulled with everything I had, and I popped out of that hole. But I wasn't quite out of the woods yet, because it was simultaneous. I popped out of that hole, and that coon hit in that ground right behind me, and he's a foot away from my face, and there ain't nothing I can do about it. And this all happened like in a quarter, half a second. But I popped out of the hole, coon hit the ground, and my dog Joe comes flying over my face, slams that coon a foot away from my face, and latches onto him, and then they go to it. And that dog saved me from getting ate to pieces that night. Because if that coon had jumped on me, there wasn't nothing I could do till I get my arms up and get turned around and everything else. So that was the last time I ever crawled in a hole like that. I never did that since, and I never told a lot of people about it either. Till the night, I guess.
My lucky to pissed all over me like that one done me and you that night.
Yeah.
Me and Daniel were shooting one out one night, and we was looking a little bit pissed all over us.
Now, how many holes do you remember? I know you said you was 19. Do you remember how many holes was in that coon when you finally skinned him out that night?
No, I know there was one other hole because blood hit me in the face when I was in there lining up the sides.
Okay.
But that's all I was just so relieved to get out of that hole. I didn't pay no attention to nothing else, I don't think, you know.
Oh, yes, sir. I was just curious.
That's why I love coon hunting, man. Every night is an adventure.
Right.
It can be something different just like that, like every night, but it's something. It just makes it fun. It's exciting.
Yeah. Then that dog, Joe, I was talking about, you know, the best one I ever had. You know, everybody says every dog's got his faults. If you look hard enough, every dog's got one. And the only fault that I would say Joe had was he hated skunks just about as much as he did coons.
Mm.
And this would have been back when I was 19. I went hunting down at Goodfield, Illinois, with a couple brothers down there. They wanted to go hunting with Joe, so we went out, hunted, and cut him loose, and he went shooting through the woods, and we're all just kind of standing around there, and I'm leaning on a walking stick that I had, and I hear this something coming through that thicket. And I thought, what is that? And I'm shining my light, looking, and here comes this skunk shooting out about 5 foot from me. And right behind it was Joe. And he tackled that freaking skunk point blank against me. And that skunk is just spraying. My dog's getting sprayed. I'm getting sprayed. I'm pissed to the max. I got that walking stick. I'm beating the skunk. I'm beating my dog. I'm just mad as can be, you know. And he ends up killing the skunk, of course. And, I mean, I'm so pissed off. I wait a couple minutes till I calm down. And these other guys are laughing. And I figure, I'm already sprayed.
I'd have chased him with it.
I'm already sprayed. We might as well go hunting a little bit, you know. And I went up to get Joe, and oh my gosh, I got sprayed, but that dog got drenched. And I don't know if any of you guys ever got really hammered by a skunk, but yeah. I mean, you get up there and your eyes burn and you're gagging and you can't get no air. That's how this dog was. I mean, he was just soaked. And I thought, I told these guys, I said, I don't even think he'll do any good to turn him loose. He smells so bad. I don't see how he smells anything. And they said, well, we are out here. Might as well cut him loose. And I cut that dog loose, and he rocketed out through them woods and went about 40 yards. And he struck a track, and he burned it probably 50 yards and hit that tree. And we got there, and there's that coon sitting up in that tree. And how in the heck that dog could even smell that coon after getting sprayed by that skunk like that, I have no idea. But that's kind of why I don't believe in cover scents too much, because, you know, the other scents are still there, and if the nose is good enough, they're still going to smell it.
Yeah,
I agree.
I know what he's talking about with that skunk smell, though, being that strong.
Yeah.
He said, take your breath and burn your eyes. It's a different kind of smell.
It's bad.
My dog Grace got on a skunk last season, and I think it sprayed her right in the mouth because she came back. She didn't stay on it long. She came back, and, man, she stunk like a skunk, and she was drooling from the mouth, and she was
– it just messes the sinuses and stuff up. It was like mace.
She got a direct face shot. Had to, because she was struggling.
Did that break Joe off of skunks?
No, man. No, he still killed every freaking skunk he came across. Didn't matter. It was just in him, and you weren't going to break it out of him no matter what.
I hunt with a feller. He had a cur dog like that. Every time we hunted, it seemed like that dog was going to come across a skunk. He wouldn't pass him up.
Yeah.
He'd
tree any coon he hit a track on, but if he happened to come across a skunk, he was dead meat too. You know, it's just the way he was.
Oh, yeah.
It definitely wouldn't be riding inside the truck, that's for sure.
No, it was pretty bad. I got got one more story for you guys.
Go ahead, lay it on us.
I grew up outside of Metamora, and there's a town about 10 miles away, Roanoke, and I met a guy named Steve Ludeman from Roanoke, and we were the same age, and we both liked to hunt, so he'd go out coon hunt with me and from time to time, and we'd always alternate driving, and we had this little game we played when we were going out hunting or coming back. If you seen a possum, the driver slams on the brakes, the other guy bails out, runs down that possum, kicks him out on the road, and then the driver steps on it, runs over your possum. And we got quite a few possums like that. And this particular, I should tell you what Ludie looks like first. He's a big country boy. He's probably about like 6'4", and got really big feet. And wear them hunting boots. It looked like size 20 boots or something. He looked like one of them swimmers with them flippers on their feet. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
when they're walking, and he'd take off running, and it was so funny just watching him run. I start laughing just watching him run. So, I'm about two miles from Metamora, and I'm driving, and I see this big possum in the ditch, and I slam on the brakes, and I go, "Get him, Ludie, get him!" And he jumps out of the truck, and he's running after that possum, and I'm just rolling. I mean, just watching him run, I'm laughing. And he catches up with this possum, and possum turns around and goes, and Ludie brings that foot like he's kicking a football, and wham, kicks that possum, and it goes right in that possum's mouth, and that possum lashed down on his foot. and he's standing in that ditch, and he's screaming, "Oh, yeah, yeah." He's trying to kick him with the foot he's standing on, and that ain't working too good, and he's shaking and shaking and can't get this possum off. So he starts kicking that leg forward and back as far as he can. And he kicks it way up, and he kicks so hard the other leg shoots out. And wham! he lands flat on his back with this possum lashed on his foot. And I anybody who ever knows me, if you ever need my help, don't get me laughing. if you get me laughing, you're screwed. You're on your own. And he's in this ditch screaming, and he's kicking this possum with this other foot. He can't get him off. He's kicking him, and he starts going, "Help me, Reynolds, help me. Help me, Reynolds, help me." And I'm crying. I can't get out. I think I might pass out. I can't get no air. You know, I'm laughing so hard. And he starts rolling, and it looks like a little dog rolling with the toy. You see that possum tail winging around like a little helicopter up and down that ditch. And the whole time he's screaming and kicking. And finally the possum lets go, comes across the ditch, and I end up running over him. But I tell you, my ribs hurt me for days because I was laughing so hard. I ain't kidding. I didn't know they could do that, but boy, they did.
Man, that's awesome.
We got a new game to play now.
Oh, boy. That's hilarious. All that one, I could see his feet coming out from up under him when he went to kill. I could see something.
That was pretty funny. I mean, that was like a straight drop, bam, on his back. And then he's kicking him with that other foot because he don't have to stand on it anymore, you know, but it ain't doing no good.
But hold on, what was that called again?
Did the game have a name, or y'all? It was just
It was just something me and him came up with to kill the time. We see a possum, we knock it out on the road, and the other to run over it, you know. And we didn't have a name for it. It was just kick that possum on the road, you know.
That's it. I can't wait the next time I see one and Ryan's riding shotgun.
I'm gonna catch him, throw him in the back of your truck like Kevin White did that time.
He did do that. Stinking possum.
We were squirrel hunting one day, and a guy caught one crossing the road in the daytime. and throwed it in the back of Daniel's truck. He got under his toolbox and hid.
Man, that was hilarious. My sides are hurting now.
No. But I want you guys to know I really enjoy listening to your show.
Man, I really enjoyed listening to your stories, dude. I'm glad we got this interview. I ain't going to lie.
Absolutely. Them was some great stories.
Well, I just hope I didn't look too dumb or sound too stupid when I was telling them. But
oh, no. You're a great storyteller.
Yeah, that's hard to come across. Yeah, that's right. And tell the story good.
Absolutely.
Well, man, Dustin made some homemade chicken stew with some like a milk base, and I had never had it before. And I tasted a sample before we started recording, and it's really good. And I'm really wanting another bowl of that.
I hear that. Well, good talking to you guys.
Hey, we appreciate it, man.
We appreciate
it. It was awesome, man.
Hey, have a good night.
You too, man.
You do the same.
All right. Bye.
Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Coon Hunting Confidentials on the Houndstooth Podcasting Network. If you want to get in touch with me, my email address is htpodinfo@gmail.com. That is htpodinfo@gmail.com. I look forward to hearing from you with all your coon hunting stories that include the creepy, crazy, and the unexplained. Until next time, keep them dogs in the woods and happy hunting, y'all.